Good morning. Good morning again. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Monmouth County. My name is Jane Reskoff, and I serve as chair of the program committee. First of all, let's give a warm welcome back to all the marchers from Washington, Trenton, Asbury Park, Red Bank. Thank you all. Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you arrived at this beloved place, you are welcome here. Our mission is to create community, transform ourselves, and transform the world. If you are new here today, please fill out a visitor card available in the lobby to learn more about us. After the service, light refreshments will be served in the community room down the hall. Please join us. News of this week's events can be found in our weekly e-blast. For those of you who need to be quiet, have a quiet place, but want to hear the service, you're welcome to go to the East Room, which is out the rear door and to the right. Our Share the Plate recipient for January is Parker Family Health Center, and they will receive half the monies collected in our offerings for this month. The nurses, doctors, and other medical professionals provide essential services to those in our area who have no health insurance and cannot afford medical services. The focus is on primary health care, disease prevention, and patient education. They are dependent on donations. Also, I call your attention in your order of service to Joel's February 12th concert. He will be selling tickets. There's Joel right there. He will be selling tickets at coffee hour. Before our service begins, please turn to those sitting near you and welcome one another to this beloved community. Please turn off your cell phone as we now enter into this time of reflection and celebration. Welcome again to this place of love and hope.
Good morning. Well, it's almost 48 hours since the oath of office was administered, and the sky hasn't fallen yet. Drooping a little bit, but not, it hasn't fallen. I know many of us, maybe most of us, are looking for ways to engage, ways to actively resist any attack on our principles. And there are many ways. The marches, the demonstrations, and the petitions that we're all receiving. We also got something from the UUA and the UU Service Committee this past week. It came via email, so I don't know what the distribution list was, but I'm sure many of you got it as well. It's called a Declaration of Conscience, and I'm going to read that in a minute. First, I want to excerpt a few things out of their cover letter so that it puts it into a context. It starts off, "Dear friends of faith and conscience, we're writing with what we expect is the same urgent sense of concern you're feeling about the results of the presidential election and what will follow. As a first step, we have prepared a declaration of conscience stating in the strongest possible terms our commitment in these troubling times. This is not about partisan politics. It is a principled response to the potential targeting of people, not for what they have done, but for who they are. It is a commitment to speak out and to act in support of basic human rights. We will keep you informed of the progress of this effort and of further opportunities to advance our cause together in the coming weeks and months. We cannot predict what the future will bring, and we do not pretend to have all the answers, but we can and we will be ready for the struggle ahead of us. Thank you for your concern, your vigilance, and your willingness to act. In faith and solidarity, the Reverend Peter Morales, President of the Unitarian Universalist Association, and the Honorable Thomas Andrews, President of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. Here's the Declaration of Conscience. At this extraordinary time in our nation's history, we are called to affirm our profound commitment to the fundamental principles of justice, equity, and compassion, to truth and core values of American society. In the face of looming threats to immigrants, Muslims, people of color, and the LGBTQ community, and the rise of hate speech, harassment, and hate crimes, we affirm our belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. In opposition to any steps to undermine the right of every citizen to vote or to turn back advances in access to health care and reproductive rights, we affirm our commitment to justice and compassion in human relations. And against actions to weaken or eliminate initiatives to address the threat of climate change, actions that would threaten not only our country but the entire planet, we affirm our unyielding commitment to protect the interdependent web of all existence. We will oppose any and all unjust government actions to deport, register, discriminate, or despoil. As people of conscience, we declare our commitment to translate our values into action as we stand on the side of love with the most vulnerable among us. We welcome and invite all to join in this commitment for justice. The time is now. That's the end of the Declaration of Conscience. Just a few more words. There are paper copies of this in the foyer on the table. So feel free to take one. But I urge you to go to uua.org. This statement and the cover letter is right there on the home page. And there's an opportunity to sign on as an individual. So please, if you feel that way, take that action. And we, as a congregation, will consider what we want to do in the days and months ahead as we ponder this Declaration of Conscience. Thank you.
Now I heard the words. Thank you.
called being a pro. Well done, Tara. And good morning and welcome all. You might have heard yesterday that we had a march or two. And you're going to hear more about it in the service today. But these words are part of the inspiration for why we bothered to stand up for what we believe. They're by Carter Hayward. She says, "Love, like truth and beauty, is concrete. Love is not fundamentally a sweet feeling, not at heart a matter of sentiment, attachment, or being drawn toward. Love is active, effective, a matter of making reciprocal and mutually beneficial relation with one's friends and one's enemies. Love creates righteousness, justice here on earth. To make love is to make justice. As advocates and activists for justice know, loving involves struggle, resistance, and risk. People working today on behalf of women, blacks, lesbian and gay men, the aging, the poor in this country and elsewhere, know that making justice is not a warm, fuzzy experience. For this reason, loving involves commitment. We are not automatic lovers of self, others, world, or God. It just does not just happen. Love is a choice, not simply or necessarily a rational choice, but rather a willingness to be present to others without pretense or guile. As we share our fresh experiences rather than polished experiences this morning, may it be an act of love and justice. I'd like to invite up this morning Jeannie Perkins to light our chalice. This is a big week for Jeannie. Her age is no longer unlisted. Jeannie turned 90 this week. Jeannie, you are the very picture of a strong, capable woman and an inspiration to us all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And the congregation. I believe there'll be a little party during coffee hour today with something like cake for all of us, too. And maybe we'll sing happy birthday.
As you are able, please stand for the next singing of Sia Hamba. And let's start with verse 1 so you know what the heck you're singing about. And then we'll do it in Zulu. And let me say the Zulu for you. All it is... Sia Hamba Ekukanye Kwen Kos. It's phonetic, so just watch those phoneticisms. And then the third time, let's do it in Spanish. Sure, come on. It's at the end. It says, Caminando en la luz de Dios. Yes. So, three times, English, Zulu, and Spanish.
Good morning. I'd like to invite the kids up for our story this morning, and we're going to be strategic about this. If you want to come up in this area and over here so you can see the screens. Come on up over here and over here so you can see the screen. You're going to face this direction. Yep. As long as you can see the screens. How'd you guys do with that song? I struggled a little bit on the Spanish. You too? I know. Yes. So this morning, I want to tell you a little bit about yesterday. Yesterday was the Women's March. And we as a congregation sent two buses full of people to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. I hear the number was about 107. We were 107 of about 500,000 people in our nation's capital. And many in the congregation went to other marches like Asbury Park and Trenton right here at home. I want to show you a video of marches all across our country, and people even marched in other parts of the world. But this is just in our country. Oh! It was a valid effort. You get the point, though, right? Okay. So, let's see. So marches, they've been happening for a long time. This isn't the first march that people in our nation have gathered for. You may have heard of other famous marches, like the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, where Dr. Martin Luther King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech. People have marched against war, nuclear weapons, and for civil rights for a long time. As I walked around the march yesterday, I saw women holding signs saying, "Am I really still marching?" So these people, they came out and they marched, and they marched for things that they cared so deeply about. And for me, it was so meaningful and gave me so much hope to be among people who shared in the values that I share. People concerned with women's rights, climate change, caring for Earth's lifeboat, healthcare for all people, the LGBT community, Black Lives Matter, and treating people with respect and dignity, like our first principle. I participated in the march in Washington, D.C., and it was my first one. And seven of our youth participated. And I saw families, people brought their children of all races and all genders, and children held up signs saying, and parents saying, "I'm marching for my mom," or "I'm marching for women." Somebody told me a story this morning about a little boy that said he missed his basketball game because he was marching for women's rights. What was that? It was in Asbury Park. That's where the story came from. Were you in Asbury Park yesterday? Fantastic, my little marchers. Have you ever heard of the Constitution? Yes, yes. You haven't? I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. So our first amendment of the Constitution, a little up here on our screen, it gives us the right to protest, to peacefully protest, because peacefully is one of the most important parts. The First Amendment of the Constitution says, "Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably, to assemble and to the petition the government for a redress of grievances." So yesterday, we marched for all people and for our planet. Question? It does say respecting. Does it say respecting? Okay. So, as always, I want you to remember that even at your age, some of you marching yesterday, some of you marching in spirit, to remember that you have a voice, and to remember that you can use it to speak up when injustice is happening in our world. Yes? You went to the big beach in the big water and you liked it? That sounds fantastic. So, I want to tell you, use your voices. And based on what I saw yesterday from our amazing youth, I know that you will do that. And know, like I said last week, that you are our future. And now our children will go to other religious education classes, and let us sing them out with Go Now in Peace. Good morning. I'd like to invite the kids up for our story this morning, and we're going to be strategic about this. If you want to come up in this area and over here so you can see the screens. Oh, come up over here and over here so you can see the screen. You're going to face this direction. Yep. As long as you can see the screens. How'd you guys do with that song? I struggled a little bit on the Spanish. You too? I know. Yes. So this morning, I want to tell you a little bit about yesterday. Yesterday was the Women's March, and we as a congregation sent two buses full of people to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. I hear the number was about 107. We were 107 of about 500,000 people in our nation's capital. And many in the congregation went to other marches like Asbury Park and Trenton right here at home. I want to show you a video of marches all across our country, and people even marched in other parts of the world. But this is just in our country. It was a valid effort. You get the point, though, right? Okay. So, let's see. So marches, they've been happening for a long time. This isn't the first march that people in our nation have gathered for. You may have heard of other famous marches, like the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, where Dr. Martin Luther King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech. People have marched against war, nuclear weapons, and for civil rights for a long time. As I walked around the march yesterday, I saw women holding signs saying, "Am I really still marching?" So these people, they came out and they marched, and they marched for things that they cared so deeply about. And for me, it was so meaningful and gave me so much hope to be among people who shared in the values that I share. People concerned with women's rights, climate change, caring for Earth's lifeboat, healthcare for all people, the LGBT community, Black Lives Matter, and treating people with respect and dignity, like our first principle. I participated in the march in Washington, D.C., and it was my first one. And seven of our youth participated. And I saw families, people brought their children of all races and all genders, and children held up signs saying, and parents saying, "I'm marching for my mom," or "I'm marching for women." Somebody told me a story this morning about a little boy that said he missed his basketball game because he was marching for women's rights. What was that? It was in Asbury Park. That's where the story came from. Were you in Asbury Park yesterday? Fantastic, my little marchers. Have you ever heard of the Constitution? Yes. Yes, yes. You haven't? I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. So our first amendment of the Constitution, a little up here on our screen, it gives us the right to protest, to peacefully protest, because peacefully is one of the most important parts. The First Amendment of the Constitution says, "Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably, to assemble, and to the petition the government for a redress of grievances." So yesterday, we marched for all people and for our planet. Question?
So disrespecting
It does say respecting. Does it say respecting? Okay. So, as always, I want you to remember that even at your age, some of you marching yesterday, some of you marching in spirit, to remember that you have a voice, and to remember that you can use it to speak up when injustice is happening in our world. Yes? You went to the big beach and the big water and you liked it? That sounds fantastic. So, I want to tell you, use your voices. And based on what I saw yesterday from our amazing youth, I know that you will do that. And know, like I said last week, that you are our future. And now our children we'll go to other religious education classes and let us sing them out with Go Now in Peace.
Listing my chores for the day, the decade, the next century, I note that the planet needs saving. By screaming, I suppose, out on the streets like a rabid banshee, hoisting a placard, shaking a fist, when I'd rather ride by in a carriage, smiling and doing my queen wave. I hate being jostled by bodies, roared at, hassled, arrested, going limp in debris. A disgrace to my mother, a public nuisance. How often I'm told, and at times I agree. If ever a man did as he promised, to cherish the ground I walk on, our earth, I'd never again stall his traffic and hear myself cursed. I'd rather be at home in my garden, pruning and pulling weeds. Yet it's still the same as always, whether wanting the vote or saving the world, stopping a war, needing a pay raise or care for the children, out in the street with my banners and bitches marching and going to jail.
Good morning. Before I forget, I've been asked to extend a great deal of thanks to all of the knitters in our congregation, and especially to Patricia Brennan. If you have a hat that you wore at one of the marches and you want to donate it to cancer patients who need to keep their heads warm, Patricia has volunteered to wash them and deliver them, so you can leave them in the box that's in the lobby, as I understand it. Okay? So thanks to everyone. Ivanka, this is what real women look like. I am Anne, the daughter of Marguerite, the granddaughter of Amy and Edna, great-granddaughter of Catherine, Mary Elizabeth, Mary Jane, and Mary Ann. And so it goes back through the generations, each grandmother a celebration of the one thing that all humans share. We were all born of a mother. I went to Washington to celebrate the grandmothers and to thank them for giving me life. I went to Washington to express gratitude to the men and women who have formed a bridge between now and 14 billion years ago, to the primordial spark of creation that gave rise to our universe unfolding. This is important to me because, as the Catholic theologian Thomas Berry said, if we are sensitized to guidance from the very structure and functioning of the universe, we can have confidence in the future that awaits the human venture. I went to Washington to remind those who are now in Congress and the White House that humans are citizens of the universe. We cannot build a wall between us and them, because there really is no us and them. The concept of America First makes no sense, because we are all part of something much bigger than America, and even of our big blue boat home. I wanted to remind them that we are not superior beings, we just think we are. If our children and grandchildren are to survive, we must abandon our fantasies that human intellect or some omnipotent being will save us from ourselves. It's time to get to work making decisions about governance based on the good, greater good of all living things. I went to Washington to ask those who are now in Congress and the White House to examine the structure and functioning of the universe. I went to ask them to stop being afraid, to invite them to embrace the future, to create it, to make it better, to share it. They would be wise to start by reading the first stanza, the final stanza of Maya Angelou's 1993 inaugural poem. Do not be wedded forever to fear, yoked eternally to brutishness. The horizon leans forward, offering you space to place new steps of change. Here on the pulse of this fine day, you may have the courage to look up and out upon me, the rock, the river, the tree, your country. I just hope they heard me.
Good morning. My name is Joan Farkas, and I was asked to talk to you about why I marched in Washington. I wrote this on the bus coming home last night with borrowed paper from one of our youth that was there and a bookmark that was in my book. So bear with me. So why did I march? I guess it never really occurred to me not to. I tend to be neither silent nor inactive when something angers me. And Donald J. Trump's statements about women, immigrants, and his mockery of an individual with a disability angered me. His immature petulance and arrogant lack of insight still ticks me off. The fact that a highly qualified, intelligent woman once again was passed over for the job in favor of a mediocre white man enraged me. So when the prospect of getting together with like-minded people to say enough presented itself, I knew I would go. But anger alone doesn't sustain my interest or energy. So ultimately, something more important took its place. And that was love. You see, I do love my country. I love my fellow humans. I love my planet. And so I guess I really marched to say, I'm there for you. I will protect you. If nothing else, I will bear witness to your suffering and any injustice that may come. And I will help defend you and help pick up the pieces to rebuild whatever is lost. I marched to show that hatred and ignorance can never truly triumph over love. And yesterday, millions of people worldwide showed me that they feel the same way. Thank you.
Let's turn to our hymnals, number 1053, and you can remain seated.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? So I was asked to reflect on why I marched yesterday, and I was very honored, and I'm very nervous today, so bear with me. So I first want to say thank you to the congregation for actually marching, for standing up for what is right, and that is to not stand in the side of intolerance. I'm also very pleased to be a part of a congregation that is a congregation that actually does something, so thank you. I was marching because when I first read about the event on Facebook, I automatically said, I'm going. I didn't think of how I was gonna get there or who I was gonna go with, but I was going. It was initially about Trump getting elected, but as I sat at my kitchen table, I realized it was more than just that. To be silent is to be complicit. And I was not complicit about the election's outcome. I was not okay with Trump's rhetoric on Mexicans, Muslims, women, journalists with special needs. moderators that asked for clear and direct answers when his casual attitude toward violence. I was not okay with any of it. And I wasn't going to just sit there and pray that it will all go away, or for someone to say, April Fool's in November. Although I really, really wish they did. I had to speak up. I had to say, shame on you for allowing an unqualified man to run for the highest position in politics. I have to use my voice, and I had to be loud for those that cannot. I must not be silent on things that shouldn't be normalized in 2017. I must speak up against things that women, people of color, and other folks have fought so much for. We just couldn't go back to that awful dark time. I cannot sit silent for all the efforts to go to waste. I must stand tall, I must be loud, be graceful and alert. Be the woman you needed as a little girl. It is now time for me to be the woman I always aspired to be. This march was more than me. You know, I live a pretty fortunate life where I don't have to worry about certain things, but I know the next person doesn't live that kind of life, and so I march for them. I march for women that need to have the choice. I fight for people of color that don't have the justices, that are guilty before found innocent. I fight for my LGBTQ people that have to fight just to be like us. So this march was more than me, and I am there with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. So I am Virginia, daughter of Julia, granddaughter of Cecilia and Louise, mother of Alex and Beatrice, and grandmother of Charlie. And I march because it's expected of me. Now let me explain. You see, I actually really expect it of myself. And you expect it of me as your minister. And more importantly, the entire universe expects it of me as payback for getting to be alive and well enough and be able to speak freely enough for those who are none of these things right now. These expectations of my responsibility for the quality of our human community are high. I cannot hide forever from them and still live with myself. I'm concerned about the availability of health care for everyone, not just for those who are lucky enough to have a job that provides insurance. I'm concerned about freely available public education that is of high quality and truly meets the needs of all children. How can we have an informed citizenry to contribute to this democracy if we abdicate this basic responsibility? I am appalled at our willingness to accept lies because they confirm our fears. I'm concerned about our willingness to sell out to big oil interests at the expense of our climate. And I'm worried sick about the children and the world we are leaving for them. I inherited a world that was rent by poverty, racism, and sexism. And in the years of my life, I've watched some progress being made. Not enough, but at least some civil rights, some safety net and universal health care. Some rights were expanded so that women had a choice about their own bodies. I would not be standing here today if a liberal and inclusive public education had not been there for me when I stepped out of the closed-minded religious school of my youth. I certainly would not be standing here today if immigration policies that welcomed the stranger and former enemy had not existed, at least on some measure. So I expect that this is my responsibility today. The threats to our values are real. Those in power today explicitly state their intention to undo our progress towards social justice as a nation. I marched yesterday and will continue marching because they won't get away with it without a fight from me. because I am privileged to have this pulpit. I am responsible for voicing this moral imperative to stand up for love and justice wherever we need to be. Because we gather here week after week trying to find the moral courage to live in this world as it is, and to live it into the world as it should be, I will tell you as honestly as I can what I see. Yesterday, what I saw in Washington, D.C., and in the pictures from cities and towns all over this country and globe, restored my faith in humanity. The sheer overwhelming numbers, estimated at 2.5 million people worldwide, says something important. Standing in that great flow of humanity yesterday was a powerful reminder that we are not alone, and that we are more united now than ever. Those beautiful, peaceful, and diverse crowds chanted, "This is what democracy looks like." This gathering of young and old, and so many more who would have been there if they could, of every race and faith imaginable, every gender imaginable, came together to say, "We demand respect, dignity, and worth. And we are here to take care of each other. Our bodies matter, our human rights matter, and will not be disrespected." As our bus made its way in the wee hours of the morning down the turnpike, that road built by the hands of the good people of this nation, there was this sense of gathering in, a gathering in of power and voice. An excitement bubbled at the rest stop as bus after bus filled with women and men wearing pink hats made the trip. The buses unloaded so many that we overwhelmed the metro station. So many of us walked the 2 miles into the center of our nation's capital. It is that walk that will stay with me. It was like a river of hope and determination. It was beautiful and powerful testament to the we, the people, on the streets of our country. Streets that may not be paved with gold, but they are made and sustained with our hearts and with our bodies because we live here. This is our home. As we walked through the neighborhoods, people stepped out of their homes and cheered us on. So many steps, so many drops, making a flood of human purpose. The streets around the mall became so full we were gridlocked. We overwhelmed the streets. We overwhelmed the toilets. We overwhelmed the subway system. But the good cheer, the peaceful witness and determination never failed. The rally really was so huge, we could only experience it from a small corner where we stood directly. It really was overwhelming in a good way. This morning, our legs hurt, but our hearts are full again. Because of what I witnessed, I know we will not let each other down. I pray that we all see this hurting, struggling, hopeful, and courageous world through loving eyes again. May naming what we see in this struggle for our common humanity help us to make real a country and a life that is beautiful and good for all. May the power of we the people make all the difference that will ever matter. In a few minutes, you'll have a chance to share some of the stories from the local marches. We'll come around with the microphone, so those of you who might have a story, think about it as we listen to Elaine's beautiful music.
Okay, I went to Washington, so it wasn't a local march, okay. But I was walking back to the bus, the 2 miles back to the bus from the mall, and I encountered a woman who had things written all over her shirt, and something about her shirt caught my attention, and I started talking to her. And I asked her where she had come from, because she had an accent, and they had come all the way from Arkansas. and that she was going back to get on the bus, and they were hoping to be home by about noon or one today, and then she had a 3-hour drive home. And I was so moved by that.
Introduce yourself, please.
Hello, I'm Ben, member of the congregation. My back's been stiff, so I didn't join my wife and daughter going to New York City yesterday. Mm-hmm. I saw them off, but I just stayed in town, and I just walked there, which was nice, but there was no big crowd walking there, but I was very happy to see about 400, I think. I think that's a pretty accurate number that went to the Riverside Gardens in Red Bank, some of whom are here with us now. I did go around, and you know how I sometimes do the Facebook Live thing here at the church, so I did that, and I interviewed people as we walked around, and that was kind of powerful listening to the stories. It's on Facebook, by the way. Just look for Ben Forrest, and you'll see it. But it had a very nice effect on me in that I've been kind of hiding from the news. It's been so depressing since, Voldemort has taken over.
Right.
And that I just, you know, it's sort of extreme. During the election, I was riveted to CNN or whatever. I would flick to Fox News, and then all of a sudden I went into sort of silent running mode as far as news goes. And every little bit you'd hear, you know, the John Lewis fight and this and that, you just thought, oh no, really, he can't. I'm really hoping he doesn't meet my really low expectations, but he seems to actually go below them. So I was hoping that if he became president, it would bring some dignity and kind of rise, but I haven't seen it yet. But hopefully that'll change.
Day three, yeah.
But anyway, that was powerful, and so thank you for this moment. And we had speakers, and it was very nice. And a lot of people were there because they couldn't go to the city. They couldn't go to Washington.
Sure.
I think it was great to have it on a local level for, there's a couple people in wheelchairs and a lot of people who just didn't do it. And a lot of spontaneous. You know, people, I think, saw the TV, saw you going to Washington. And a lot of young people just showing up because it was cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's the right thing to do.
It is cool. Yeah.
Proud to be here with all of you, and you should be proud of yourselves taking a courageous stand. I want to bring out the point that we, you know, this is all nice for today, but we got to keep up the momentum. This can't. it's going to be a tough fight, but remember that all politics is local, so there needs to be a 50-state strategy where people really get involved and stand up, and that means calling people out, even people who may be close to us, and say, this is not acceptable language, this is not acceptable behavior. That's gonna be tough. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna be easy, but no fight was ever easy. And I say, what did I say on Facebook? I said to the, we may not always win, or we may not always have, we may not always be able to fight. We may not always be able to fight. I forgot it. It's on my
page.
But the second sentence is, but we must never fail to not protest.
Hi, I'm Lorraine, and I was feeling some kind of way because I couldn't go to Washington, I couldn't go to New York, I couldn't go to Philly, I couldn't go to Trenton, I couldn't even go to Asbury. But then someone called and asked me if I would speak at Red Bank. Yay! And Red Bank had to be a microcosm of what happened everywhere else. And what I really appreciate is the women's organization, and it's a new women's organization in Red Bank, of course, which I don't remember the name, and I won't try and butcher it up.
Women's Initiative.
There you go. See, that's what happens when two people go to the same place. Isn't that cool? what they had the foresight to do was to invite speakers. I think there were maybe 8 of us. Couple of African Americans, couple of Latinas, an Arabic woman. I don't know exactly where she was from. She didn't say, but she was certainly Islamic. There was even a man who was a disabled man who was a refugee, actually. So they had the vision to really reach out and bring everyone in. They had the vision to do what I'm sad to say the creamsicle did not do when he put together his cabinet. They're only rich. They're not multicolored and other fun things. But I will leave you the way I left them yesterday, so I hope you know the response.
I wanted to share an experience that I had at the Washington March yesterday. I was there with my wife. We were in the midst of the gridlock that the Reverend described. It was wall-to-wall people on all sides. You literally could not move an inch. I mean, you were surrounded by other people who were impinging on you from all sides. And as I was trying to make my way through that crowd, I saw an amazing scene. By the way, there were lots of infants, lots of little kids, lots of strollers. It was amazing that people had taken that risk to bring all their kids with them as well. But what I saw was that there was a small child on a stroller who needed a diaper change. And all of the people just pushed a little bit further aside to make enough room so that the father could actually put a towel on the floor and change the diaper of the child, while everybody was making sure that they were in their complete comfort and nobody would impinge upon them. The decency and the amazing spirit of that crowd, I think not one person was arrested in all of 2.5 million people. It's just amazing.
I just wanted to add, it was an outpouring of love.
One more. Oh, Christina. Okay, I'm sorry. It's only because of the time. Unless you want to all stay another half hour, we could keep going. We'll stay.
So I went to Trenton with my mom, and we were volunteers with Planned Parenthood. We contacted them and said that we would go early and we would help out with the crowds and everything. So they told us that they were expecting about 2,500 at the most, because the theater could only fit 2,000 people, so they weren't expecting that many. So by the end of it, we were inside. When we came outside, we heard that there were 7,000 people that showed up. They were filling the streets outside of the theater while we were sitting inside. And that was just amazing that so many more people came than we expected.
Hi, I'm Lori Beck, and I'm a friend of this congregation. I've been coming for many years, but I decided to deepen my relationship with you. I'm young enough to remember Kent State, but I am not quite old enough to have marched in Kent State or any other of the protest marches in the 60s. But I have sobering reminders from watching on TV that it's not easy to march. And I was afraid, because I knew that the thug in Washington, D.C. stoops very low. And so I didn't know what he would do. I marched in Asbury Park, and this morning the thing that moved my heart the most was that we spoke the oath of office. And we took back the power from the President of the United States by taking that oath and saying that we will defend the Constitution of this great country. Mm-hmm.
Next. Okay.
Thanks.
Hello? Okay. I'm Penny. I'm a member of the congregation. And I also went to Asbury Park. I was blessed to help with the committee that put the march together and the entertainment together. And they also let me be the closing speaker. With Olympia's Daughters, we sang and spoke, and 6,000 people were there. Yes.
Hi, I'm Brittany. I'm kind of new to the congregation, but I just wanted to say I didn't make it to any of the marches yesterday because I had to work, so I guess my way of doing what I wanted to do was taking to Facebook and sharing a lot of the beautiful things I saw, videos, comments, everything, and I noticed that there was actually a lot of ugliness that I came across in my Facebook feed, so, and I kind of had this urge to unfriend these people. You know, I didn't want to see these things showing up on my feed, and it made me upset. And then I remembered what I heard last week, and it was, don't close yourself off in a bubble. Keep yourself open to these people and speak to them and tell them how you feel and tell them why you're doing what you're doing. And don't keep yourself surrounded with the people that are just telling you what you want to hear. Open yourself up so you can change someone else's point of view. So I just wanted to share that thought.
And just reminded me in D.C. how fabulous the National Guard and the police were there. So supportive, so helpful every step of the way. So many hands.
You made me think one quick thing about Asbury. There were some mothers with some brownies, children who were brownies and had wonderful signs, and they carried flowers, and they stopped and thanked the police officers and gave them flowers. It was very...
I am very aware that our RE teachers are working with our kids and expect us to be done in about 5 minutes. So I'm going to suggest that we keep telling stories during coffee hour for the next 10 years, maybe. Don't forget this feeling. This is the feeling of being a flood of love, a flood of power. You all are a prayer to the intention of humanity to rise above these base and really unnecessary discriminations. Let us be this prayer. Let us walk this prayer. And now let us sing this prayer. What's our closing hymn, Michelle?
Come and Go With Me.
Oh, Come and Go With Me. Perfect choice. Number 1018. Please rise. And friends, remember who you are and whose you are. Remember you stand in a stream of people who are loving, accountable to a higher purpose and willing to march for it. May our steps be blessed. May the words and actions of our hearts add to the beauty and justice of this world. May we go out and make our peace with it. Go in peace. Amen.